Jared the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game, online at thegamenashville.com, live today at Clyde's on Church, where we want you to join us tonight for ESPN 102.5 The Game's official national championship watch party. Half off their signature smoked wings and $14 buckets of Miller Lite, Miller High Life, Coors Light, and Coors Banquet. Sign up for Eagles tickets. Everything while you're here at Clyde's on Church Street. Floyd Reese.
Yes, sir.
Around the country, I watched all the shows yesterday and Saturday night, and you know me. You know that I try to let as little be said about the local teams as possible without seeing it so we can talk about it. But around the country, the narrative is basically Andy Reid screwed up the game and the Chiefs lost because the Chiefs always lose these playoff games. And that the Chiefs were dominating the Titans, and then the Chiefs found a way to lose it Chiefs style. Yet where I sit, and this is where I differ, I thought the Titans played absolutely horrific football in the first half. I thought that was one of their worst performances since the Houston game at Houston. They were just bad. They didn't cover anybody. They couldn't cover anybody. They were dropping passes. They were running the wrong routes. They weren't taking the corners with them and leading to interceptions. They were getting saved by Jeff Triplett, of all things. I mean, I thought the Titans were terrible in the first half and that they started playing ball, and that's why they won in the second half. I think it was more of the Titans getting their stuff together and showing up in the second half and playing good football and winning the game than it was what the national perception is that the Chiefs lost the game. So how much of Saturday night was on the Titans winning the game and how much of it was on the Chiefs losing the game?
Well, I mean, the way it ended up, I think the Titans won the game, but the reason that they won the game was because Kelce, the tight end, got knocked out. And the reason that they were so bad to begin with was because Kelce, the tight end, was playing. And we saw at least two of those touchdowns right off the bat were Kelce's. I mean, Kelce made the plays. And in one case, you know, the out-and-out touchdown. We couldn't cover him with a linebacker. We couldn't cover him with a safety. We were going to have a hard time covering him, period. And I think once he was out of the game, it completely changed the way we could approach it. Dick LeBeau could approach it, and I think it made all the difference in the world. So, I mean, the way it ended up, I think we went out and won it, in that we adjusted to do the things that we now were going to be able to do after Kelce went out.
I think Kelce going out had a huge role in it. I think the Chiefs choked it away a little bit, but I just think the Titans played better ball in the second half. I mean, the Titans played bad ball, dropping passes. Corey Davis has no clue what's going on out there. On the first third down and three of the game, you know where Marcus threw the ball behind him? I'm convinced Corey Davis didn't run the depth of the route right or something like that, because how many guys does Marcus miss that badly, and yet he's the guy that Marcus misses badly all the time? So I put that on Davis. Then he throws the interception. Davis, Mike said it yesterday. Chris Sanders was saying it as soon as it happened, that Davis has to clear Marcus Peters out so that Delaney's one-on-one over there on the side didn't do it. So they're just playing bad ball. They weren't blocking right. Derrick Henry doesn't pick up the guy. He just smacks Mariota. Should have been a fumble. I mean, the Titans just played really bad ball early on Saturday night.
Well, I think the thing that became obvious was, I mean, two things become a factor. One is, I have no idea why we are throwing the ball to Marcus Peterson. I have no clue. I don't know why we line up anybody over there that's worth a hoot. I don't know why we would do anything that were to give the quarterback a clue that, hey, this is where we need to throw the ball. I agree with Chris on the interception. The clearing pattern by Davis was awful. He is running down there. He's dodging people. He's juking. And we don't care about any of that, Corey. You run as fast and as far as you can go and just keep going. When you hear a whistle, stop. But instead, he's out there BSing around, juking around, messing around. Now the ball is thrown. Peters breaks on it. I mean, I think we had a couple of instances like that we saw in the game where, I mean, the way we run the patterns, and the same thing on the coverage. On the third touchdown pass, They throw to Robinson.
No, Ty Smith's just standing right there.
Nah, Ty Smith's got to get – it's too deep. The corner lets him release outside, free release, which means the safety can't get there. Safety doesn't have enough room to get there. If he jams him and slows him down, or if he's going to get a release, make him release inside, now the safety's got a chance to get there. But the way it ended up, by the Byard gets there in time to barely get a hand on him. The guy jukes him a little bit, and it's a touchdown. I mean, that is bad technique on a simple coverage. Not that I like the coverage of too deep that close to the end zone. I mean, I would have to, you know, have somebody tell me why exactly you made that call. But they did, and the technique was just awful, and it's a touchdown. So I think you're seeing those things. And you say, well, how can that happen? You say, well, let's think about it now. That corner has played how much? You know, he's played, I don't know, maybe two games his whole career. You know, so, I mean, he just hasn't played a lot of snaps. And I think we're getting some of that. And I'm not making excuses for him, because everybody in the world understands how to play too deep as a corner. And if you're not going to get the jam, you got to at least make him release inside.
Well, that goes back to my point, though. That's bad football. Davis, bad football. Decker dropping the ball on third down, hits him right in the chest. That's bad football. Derrick Henry had a fumble in the first half that luckily for somebody upstairs was looking out for the Titans in that game. Because if that ball is scooped up for a touchdown like it probably should have been, you lose. I mean, just at that point in the game, if Derrick Henry's fumble is recovered by the Chiefs, they score a touchdown, you lose. And yet, that's my whole point. The reason the Chiefs got out to a 21-3 lead is because you were awful in the first half, and the reason you came back and won the game was because you were good and Kelce got hurt.
Well, we got there were a couple of questionable fumbles in there. Either, I mean, when we hit Kelce and he drops the ball, that's a fumble too. But nobody says anything about that.
That actually happened in a Titans playoff game in 2002. Eddie George got knocked out. And Eddie fell on the football, and Pittsburgh picked it up. Eddie's laying on top of the football, knocked out, and the guy from Pittsburgh picks up the football, and they rule it Pittsburgh ball. Titans challenge, and they come back and say, even though Eddie covered the fumble, he didn't have possession for obvious reasons because he was knocked out. So exact same thing happens. Triplett and his crew don't even think twice. The replay doesn't buzz them down. I thought that was ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, there were two or three really, really bad calls. I mean, you know, we benefited from some of those. They benefited from some, too. But, I mean, they did not call a good game.
Derrick Henry was down for like 2 seconds, and they let the guy run into the end zone with a touchdown at the end of the game. And there was a part of me that when they reviewed that, you know, Chris Sanders almost ran out of the studio when that happened. And when he's on the ground, when they show the replay, you know, Derrick Henry, I thought I heard a whistle on that play. But then you see them run into the end zone. McDonough's voice is cracking like a, you know, just losing everything. So then they show Derrick Henry saying he's down. They show the replay, he's down. And there was a part of me that was like, you know, there's always those replays where it's 100% obvious and they still screw it up for some reason. But then luckily Triplett came out and said that he was down. I just think the Titans played bad ball in the first half. I asked Mike about that yesterday on the conference call. I asked Mike what happened for that slow start.
Well, then, you know, they got up on us early in the again, they were doing a lot of things offensively. I know they're top 15, or again, that's one of those you know, game plans that you got to kind of weather that and get through that. That's their best they're going to give you. And you know, we didn't do a very good job of stopping some big plays. And again, once we settled down, we just need to settle down defensively, which I thought we did. I thought we played much better. Once we were out of sync, and whether that was a, you know, because it was a true playoff game or not, we were not, you know, playing like we have been these last few weeks, or really last couple months defensively.
So how about this week when you play the Patriots? You don't have time to get settled down. You need to be settled down when you walk out onto that. Let's go to your phones here live out at Clyde's on Church. Jared and the GM. Chris is up next, 615-737-1025. What's up, Chris?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good.
Yeah, like you said earlier, during the game, I did feel like there was some divine intervention or something going on. But getting back to the malarkey conversation, I think Amy could have stopped a lot of the talk after the Jacksonville game by just calling Mike or talking to him and say, look, we accomplished our goals. We made it to the playoffs. You're safe. Don't listen to any of this talk. But my observation is the eerie similarities between the Predators' run to the Stanley Cup last year and what the Titans are doing right now. They both were picked preseason to win their divisions and be a top team, and they both didn't play up to their potential during the season.
Chris, I think you're hitting on something really important, and I appreciate your call. I do want to, though, go back to what you said about Mike and Amy. I think Floyd's point about the whole Mike Mularkey thing, about Amy Adams-Strunk even telling him, hey, you're safe, is you would say that you don't even feel like Amy needed to do that.
Well, no, yeah. I mean, my point is, if I would have been the GM of the Titans, and it as it was going, I said, we're not even going to respond to that. You know, it's all BS. I don't even, because if you respond, now the questions come to you instead of the questions going to them. Now they start asking you, well, what if? What if he loses this? What if he loses? What if, you know, what about the assistants? Are we going to fire the assistants? Are we? I mean, it's just never ending. So the easiest way to take care of that is just not answer. Just stay out of it. But when Mike mentioned it, and again, I think Mike mentioned it because of his family. He had a concern for his family. And I don't, you know, it doesn't bother me that he did that. Because he wants his family to have as much peace of mind as they can have in a truly rough business. So that doesn't bother me. But I think after that happened, then they all looked at it and go, oh, you know what? We got to say something because it's affecting Mike and his family and the kids and the grandkids and everybody involved.
Does Mike have grandkids?
I'm going to guess he does, but I don't know that.
I don't think Mike has grandkids.
Maybe not. I don't know.
615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. Jared and the GM live out at Clyde's on Church for our national championship watch party. Come on out tonight. And, of course, ESPN 102.5 The Game is your home tonight, starting at 6 o'clock with coverage for the college football playoff national championship game right here, Georgia and Alabama on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll get back to your phone calls on the Titans. It's Jared the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Appreciate the fans and the great support that they gave us all year. In particular tonight, they were unbelievable and deserve more than what we gave them. That's my responsibility. We'll go back and we'll look at all that. You got to step back and let your emotions get out of it and look at it. I mean, that's what Brett does, Veach, and he'll take a peek and see what we need to do to get better. And I know looking in the mirror, I've got to make sure I do a better job.
Andy Reid said he needs to do a better job. I could not agree more with Andy Reid. As much as I think the Titans won this game, well, I feel bad for Andy Reid, who is a really nice guy.
Right.
I felt so bad for Andy. And everybody was texting me about Andy Reid after the game saying, Andy screwed it up again. And as much as I would want to celebrate that, I just remember how nice Andy Reid was to us at the Combine. So I want to not get excited about jumping on Andy Reid. But my goodness, I mean, everybody around the country was just clawing on Andy Reid after the game. And I understand why Kareem Hunt didn't get the football enough. When you're up with a big lead, you got the leading rusher in the NFL. I mean, Andy, I don't know what you did there.
Well, it's hard. They got stuck in a bad place, which is the quarterback is setting it on fire. First half, the quarterback was outstanding. And so you come back to second half, and you're thinking to yourself, okay, we're going to try to do the same thing. Well, maybe we will, but two things happened. I think, one, we started holding on to the ball. We had a couple of long, long drives. I mean, we just ate up the clock. Which meant that, you know, each time they got the ball and didn't succeed, then they're punting and we're getting the ball right back. And I think we eventually wore their defense down and got to the point where we pretty much, and we've seen this, this is what happened when we played Seattle, basically what happened when we played Jacksonville. You know, you got late in the game and you've been pounding them pretty good, and now you really start applying the pressure and you take it over. And at that point in time, it was too late for them to really do anything. I think it was a combination of a lot of things, but I'm not sure they had a lot of great options. You know, when
Kareem Hunt?
You get the ball back after how long was that one drive? 16 plays.
9 minutes, I think.
Yeah,
nine minutes.
I mean, that's the quarter, half the quarter. So now you get the ball back. You say, okay, what are you going to do? You're going to run the ball again and eat up more time on the clock? Or are you going to, you know, what are you going to do? So I don't know. I felt bad for them. But,
you know, I'll say this. In the flow of the game, I never felt like, man, Andy Reid needs to run the ball. I think a lot of people looked at the box score after the game and saw 11 carries for Kareem Hunt and thought, oh, my God, how did Kareem Hunt only get 11 carries? But in the flow of the game, I never felt like Andy Reid was doing a bad job for what he was calling. I'll say this, though. The one little option play that Alex Smith ran on a third and short, Alex Smith ran the same play against the Titans last year on a third and short. Got to have it. It was and I know this because I watched the Titans-Chiefs game last year on Friday night before the game Saturday. And on a third and one late in the game, Alex Smith ran that option play and didn't get it, and they punted back to the Titans, and that's when Succop hit the game-winning field goal. They ran it again and didn't get it. They ran the same play and didn't get it. Oh, it's just fabulous.
Well, see, going into the third quarter, we had a 15-play drive that ended in a touchdown. That was Marcus's pass to himself. Then we go on defense, maybe the single biggest series of the entire game, which is we stop them.
Trowick hits the punter.
They punt. We hit the punter. It doesn't give them a first, so then we line back up. They punt, and we fumble it. I mean, the worst series, the series of events, it's unbelievable. So now the defense has to go in with them already in field goal position. And what do? They shut them down. And then they miss the field goal. And then from that point on, we were off and running.
I told you, then, it felt like at that point somebody upstairs was looking out for the Titans.
Yeah, then Derek hits his, you know, 35-yard run. And then we hit Decker. And then, you know, the rest is history.
Decker learned how to catch again. I was very proud of him. By the way, I called it. At one point, I tweeted out, I said, Decker's going to need to learn how to catch the ball again because I think they're going to need him. And I'll be darned if Decker didn't catch that ball. Finally, they threw it to Decker, and finally, he caught it. He was turning into Clifford Franklin there for a minute. Let's go to your phone, 615-737-1025, live out of Clyde's on Church. Once again, the national championship game. Come on out here tonight. Get half-off smoked wings and $14 buckets of Miller Lite, Miller High Life, Coors Light, and Coors Banquet. Andy is up next on the Titans game here on Jared and the GM. What's up, Andy?
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question for Floyd. Looking forward to next week's game. It seemed like a matchup nightmare for our linebackers, having to cover White and Lewis out the backfield, didn't deal with Gronk. I was wondering how you would approach the Patriots next week from a defensive standpoint. And also, do you think that Logan Ryan could give any insights, since he was on the team last year, as to what to expect? I'll hang up.
Thanks,
and take
Andy.
Your comments.
Yeah, and we'll get into the Patriots a lot this week.
Yeah, I'm sure Logan will have something for him. If nothing else about the scheme, he will have a lot of knowledge about personnel, and that will be a big thing for them. But, yeah, I agree with you. Gronk is going to be the single biggest factor in this entire game.
You know who I think could really help out, though, with the Patriots stuff, with the insight? Not that Logan can't, because Logan can. I think Matt Cassel can help Marcus out a lot this week. You know, I know that they do different stuff, but Matt Patricia was the D coordinator, and I think Josh McDaniels was the offensive coordinator when Matt Cassel was quarterback. And I'm just wondering if Matt can help Marcus, because you know Bill's going to throw things at Marcus he hasn't seen yet. Let's go to Mike, who's up next on Mike Malarkey. Thank you for calling. You go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. I just have a quick question for the GM as far as last four openings that are waiting there for head coaches. Who do you think and where would be the best fit for these offensive coordinators and defense coordinators that are being lined up saying they're going to these different teams, and I'll listen offline. Thanks.
Thanks, Mike.
Wow. I wish I really could help you. I mean, I you know what it boils down to.
Well, it sounds like Patricia is going to Detroit.
Yeah, I don't know. It's in all of those situations, it boils down to basically this. Who is going to be the guy that will come in and fit your personnel the closest and understands and is willing to preach the philosophy that you as a GM and that the ownership and whoever else we're talking about wants the character and the environment like in that organization. Whoever fits that part of it is probably as close as you're going to get, because the truth is, I mean, not many of these guys being hired have been head coaches, like the guy the Bears just hired. He had a tough game Saturday night.
How do you sell that right now to the Bears?
Head coach.
Sell that to the Bears. Hey, they didn't give Kareem Hunt the ball, and they blew a 21-3 lead, but he's our guy to lead Mitch Trubisky. Davis is up next here on Jared and the GM on the Titans, 615-737-1025. What's up, Davis?
Hey, man, first of all, Marcus Fuzz, 15 interceptions. He won't be the quarterback either, and he's the nicest guy in the world. So Andy Reid, whatever on that. My question is, what can we do to get fourth quarter Marcus and Derrick Henry in the first half at all? And then if the Patriots blow us out by 35, is Mike Mularkey gone?
Okay, I'll start with the last one first. Thank you for the call, Davis. Yes, Mike Mularkey stays. Unless Mike leaves on his own, and I don't think he's going to, Mike stays. But his question about getting, first or second half Marcus and Derrick Henry in the first quarter.
Yeah, I think that would be ideal. I am just not sure this team is a fast starting team. And I don't know why. There's not a real reason why. I mean, I know there's a feeling out period where you want to see what you're facing and the defense, you want to get a look at what they're trying to run and all of that. I understand all that. But every team in the league goes through that. I think the biggest part of that, in my mind, is that we don't have giant explosive players. We don't have, even with Derrick Henry, as good as he ran, if you turn around and hand him the ball in the first period, it's no gain. And so and with a running game, that. It's going to take you some time, and it's going to be better in the fourth quarter. But the rest of the game, I mean, who do we have that's going to go out there and just beat somebody?
Yeah, you're talking about like Antonio Brown.
Yeah, we're going to run past somebody, or we're going to design a pattern that's better than anybody's ever seen, and we're going to complete the ball. For whatever reason, we're just not able to do that. I mean, we struggle running patterns that are elementary patterns that everybody runs.
615-737-1025. Jared and the GM live out at Clyde's on Church. Coming up next, I had a theory on Thursday. On this show Thursday, I had a theory, and the GM totally knocked my theory. But now I think he has to admit I might have been right. It's Jared and the GM right here breaking down the Titans and the Chiefs and the Mike Mularkey situation and everything else in between. Live from Clyde's in Church, ESPN 102.5. The game is your exclusive home for the college football playoff, Georgia-Alabama tonight. Coverage begins at 6 o'clock right here on ESPN 102.5. The game on ESPN Radio. And if you're an Alabama fan, coverage on the Alabama Crimson Tide Radio Network starts at 5 on 94.9 Game 2. ESPN 102.5, the game's exclusive coverage of the college football playoff, is presented by Mercedes-Benz of Music City, MB of MC, and Vietti Chili. Also, our party tonight live here at Clyde's on Church. So come on out. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5, the game.
Kansas City, if you stay in this tight formation, is going to jam the front, make it very difficult to run the ball on 3rd and 10. And they have a timeout left.
I don't think I'd risk the handoff. I mean, maybe Henry's the best bet because of what he's done in this game, what he's done in the fourth quarter all year.
Yeah, they're
open. I don't even know if I'd risk the handoff. Some sort of run for Mariota.
It's an all-out blitz. no safety deep in the middle of the field.
So what would you do? Hand it off to Henry. Mariota blocks. Henry, first down and more. Marcus Mariota in there to throw a block for Henry. They gave it again to Mr. Fourth Quarter. He has delivered the Titans into the next round of the playoffs.
They run a spread formation. They run a zone read. They do not block Frank Zombo until Marcus Mariota picks him up late. They run a zone read against an all-out blitz, and Marcus Mariota for the second consecutive week makes a physical play. You think his teammates don't have respect for him?
That was Mariota with the block on the Henry run that sealed the game. And Floyd Reese, I had a theory on this show on Thursday of last week, Jared and the GM live out at Clyde's on Church. I had a theory on this show last week, and I said that that run that Mariota had against Jacksonville and the way his teammates responded to him, that was a that could have been a career-changing play because now this team believes in him. And I think after what Mariota did, there is no way you can't say this team doesn't believe in him now. Because you were kind of, you know, he's got to do it again. He's got to do it some more. He's got to make plays in big games. And, Floyd, I think he answered your question. I think he answered it on Saturday night because that was a Steve McNair performance. And I am ready to put my stamp down on franchise quarterback after what he accomplished Saturday night.
Okay. Way to jump out there. I'm proud of you.
You willing to jump out there?
No.
Why not? He was incredible. He was throwing the ball. He willed the team back into the game. If they had had anybody else at quarterback, that team believes in that quarterback now.
A running back could have done that.
The running back could have thrown that touchdown to Decker down the seam.
No, we're not talking about a touchdown. We're talking about blocking and
I'm talking about the whole performance that I saw on Saturday.
I'm talking about that play. That play could have been done in any kind of, I mean, whoever the quarterback was.
Peyton Manning throw any game-winning blocks in his career?
I don't know. I will say this. I mean, I think he earns a ton of respect, and I think the people, you saw the sideline and how those guys love him. But I don't think I never got the impression they didn't love him. I think what he's doing now is he's giving them an excuse to show all that affection, what he's done the last 2 weeks. And it hasn't been doing quarterback things. You know, it's been doing running back things. But that doesn't, I'm not taking anything away from him. Any way we can get it, we can take it.
And wide receiver things.
Yeah, but, I mean, we've got to go out. You know, again, we've got to go out and carry the team throwing the ball. I mean, we're going to have running backs that can run the ball. And I'm not taking anything away.
Think you are.
It sounds like I'm being negative. I'm not. And you've heard me from day one he got here. I said, we know he can run the ball. We know he can do that. And I'm glad he can. And whenever he needs it, it needs to be used. But to become an NFL franchise caliber quarterback, you've got to throw the ball from the pocket. And I think that's now. Does he have a great cast to be able to throw the ball from the pocket?
No.
The answer is no. And so, you know, until they get that settled, I think it's going to be difficult for him to do all the things that he wants to do. But that does not mean that he can't find other ways to win, which he obviously has done.
See, I look at the passing from your, like, back to your point, I look at the passing. I look at the drives in the third, in the fourth quarter, or excuse me, the second half. I look at all the third down plays that he made. Third and four at the Tennessee 25. You know, like those type of plays that he made. There's a bunch of, he was 7-of-7 on third down in the second half. Third down and 10 at the Kansas City 49. Mariota passed to Walker for a gain of 14. Those are passing plays that Marcus Mariota made. They went to the no huddle. Mariota was great in that. Mariota, third down and 8, scrambles for a gain of 17 on a play that he made. Like, I know that you want to only think about the passing, but the running counts to me. Third down and two at the Kansas City 32, Marcus hits Jonnu Smith for a gain of 10. The next throw that they make or the next play they complete is a touchdown pass to Decker. I mean, I'm not saying Marcus is going to the Hall of Fame based upon what Marcus did Saturday night, but I'm just telling you right now, that was a Steve McNair performance, and this football team believes in him like those football teams used to believe in Steve McNair, and that's all I'm asking for right now. You haven't had a quarterback do this in 10 years. You haven't had a quarterback do this in 14 years. And I'm not saying Marcus is going to go on the road and outplay Belichick's defense next week. But what I saw, you know, everybody talked about Marcus regressing and Marcus was this and Marcus had to look at all the interceptions he threw, Jared, and you guys just make mistakes for him. And I'm looking at a guy who put the team on his back and did everything it took to win the ball game on Saturday night. That stands out to me. That matters to me. I mean, if I'm saying if a guy's a franchise quarterback or not, what Marcus did, Andy Dalton doesn't do that Saturday night. Marcus did it. He's your guy.
Go for it.
But you won't take him. I think you're kind of hating.
I am not hating
him. I think you're hating
a little bit. I love him.
Obviously not that much, though.
I do. I mean, the TD pass to himself, that may happen again, but probably in your lifetime. I think wasn't it Gruden that showed the last time that it happened, first and only time it had happened, and that was like I think
1997.
Yeah, so I mean I'm going to guess that won't happen again. Again, the single biggest play or series in the second half was when the defense went in after the fumble punt and didn't give up a point. That was immense. Then we go down, and after that series, they punt to us. We get a false start. Then we get a first down pass to Walker. Then we get Derrick Henry's 35-yard run, which was gigantic. That makes it 16-21. Then we come back. Defense stops them. They drop a tight end, drops a pass for first down. Offense gets the ball. We hit Decker on the slant, which was the best pass he threw all day long.
Which is probably the best pass he throws.
Yeah, that was a great throw.
But that throw up the seam, the one that you've said all year, that's the best ball he throws.
Right.
And usually it's to Delanie Walker.
Right. So, I mean, there were a lot of good things in the second half. I mean, on both sides of the ball. Truth is, we dominated the second half. And
you don't come from down 18.
Got crushed the first half.
So you're not willing to say franchise quarterback yet?
Franchise quarterback?
Yes.
No, I can't say that. But how many guys do I say that about?
Well, like, do you consider Phillip Rivers for what he's accomplished in San Diego as their franchise quarterback?
What do you want to accomplish? 8-8?
Well, Marcus is obviously better than 8-8 because he's been 9-7 the last 2 years. Right. And he's in the divisional round of playoffs.
What has Rivers accomplished?
Been to a couple of AFC title games. He's 14-2 one year.
Yeah. No, that's not good enough for me. I mean, you're talking
14-2 is not good enough?
You're talking about how many Super Bowl rings does he have?
Well, I mean,
thank you.
Steve McNair was a franchise quarterback, but he didn't have any Super Bowl rings.
Right. Well, he had a Super Bowl ring. It was a loser Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, that don't count.
So, I mean,
so is Dan Marino not a franchise quarterback?
No, he was a franchise quarterback.
No Super Bowl rings.
Well, yeah, but you didn't ask me, is he one of the greatest of all time?
I mean, I'm just telling you that if you're saying
that. You know what? He's just like Phillip Rivers.
Okay, then if that's your standard. Like. My standard is Steve McNair. And that was a Steve McNair game from Marcus. That was a Steve McNair performance. Steve McNair would have these games in the playoffs that were not sexy, but you would come away saying Steve put them on it. Steve put them
all
on
the time. Then Flacco is the franchise quarterback for you. There you go. So
Flacco is their franchise quarterback.
That's what I'm saying. You can accept that as a franchise quarterback. I don't. I want a franchise quarterback to me to be the guy to lead the franchise to the promised land. That's where I want to get.
So just for the record, Steve McNair, not a franchise quarterback.
I don't think I ever said he was. Did I?
That's a really high bar for franchise quarterback.
It is. I mean, I agree. Now, is Steve McNair an outstanding quarterback? Yeah, he was. Was Dan Marino an outstanding quarterback? Yeah, he was. Is Philip Rivers an outstanding quarterback? Yeah, he was. I mean, all of those, but we talk about the big boy table?
I'm not talking about the big boy table, Marcus.
Would any of those guys be in the big
boy? No, I'm not talking about the big boy table. I'm talking about...
Big boy table?
I'm talking about franchise quarterback. I'm talking about a guy... See, you talk about lead to the promised land. I think Marcus eventually can lead this team to the promised land. Not right now.
And maybe he can. I mean, maybe he can.
But see, I'm not like you. I'm not going to wait until he does it before I say that I think he can do it.
It's like Derrick Henry. Did Derrick Henry have anything to make you believe that he could go out and run for 160?
I said last week I thought he was going to have a great game.
And based on what?
That he had a bad game the week before and he was going to be motivated to run a good game.
Which means absolutely nothing.
Well, he did it, didn't he?
But I think if you after you see a game like this, the problem with Derek now is he set his bar way up there.
Yeah, that's not going to happen next week.
If he doesn't, then what is it? Then it's just one-shot deal. Meaningless. You've got to be able to do that when it counts, which means he's got to do it this week. Does that mean he's going to lead us to a win? That may not happen, but he needs to go out and gain 130, 140 yards.
The phone number is 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Apparently, Floyd was not impressed with Marcus's performance yesterday.
See, I hate it when you put words in my mouth like that. I did not say any of that. That's all BS, fake news boy. You are full of junk.
That's how it came off to me.
Now I know how we get in trouble. See, this is how you get in trouble.
We're going to need a radio counselor, like a marriage counselor.
No, I mean, you just pull it out of your fanny, and if it fits, you just throw it up there.
I'm sorry. The way they reacted to him at the end of that game, that right there is a team that believes in its quarterback. And I'm not saying they're going to win this year. I'm just saying I can see it with this guy. I've always been a believer, you know, since really his first start at Tampa. But, I mean, I really – like, the doubt that you all had put in my head about him regressing this year, gone after what I saw Saturday. 615-737-1025. The big dog did eat. We'll discuss that. Plus, we'll take your calls. It's Jerry and the GM live from Clyde's on Church. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Kansas City did not have a first down in the third quarter. They had just 6 yards. The Titans had the ball for nearly 11 minutes. Henry ripping through. Henry inside the 20. Henry inside the 5. Touchdown, Tennessee.
You know, I just want to have a better performance than I had last week. You know, wrong really happened with that. And I just want to be able to come out here and execute the play that's called. I appreciate him. You know, that's as a whole, as an offense, man, just clicking, everybody being where they're supposed to be, everybody just doing extra stuff, like Marcus making that block to seal the game, you know. And I just want to get a first down, so, you know, so we can get out of here with a win.
Will you say it for me just one time, Floyd?
Wait a minute. Before we say anything, I need three things I need people to hear. I thought Steve McNair was an outstanding quarterback. Okay, anyway. I love Marcus Mariota. And I'm in GM mode from now on.
Can I just hear you say it one time though in reference to the Derrick Henry touchdown run?
There's no doubt he played great. And nobody was happier to see it than me.
And I called it. Let's go to the phones. Although, in all fairness, you called the Titans winning, so there is that. I did not. Let's go to the phones here at Clyde's on Church. Once again, come on out for the official National Championship Watch Party of ESPN 102.5 The Game. Half off signature smoked wings, buckets of Miller High Life, Coors Light, and Coors Banquet. And if you get here tonight to watch the National Championship game, you can register to win a pair of tickets to see the Eagles at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, March 24th. Clyde's located at 1700 Church Street in Nashville. Tim is up next here on Jared and the GM. Thank you for calling, Tim, and you go ahead. Tim, I'm going to go ahead and let you go here. I'm going to put you on hold because Radio 101 turned your radio down. Let's go to Darren, who is up next here on Jared and the GM. Darren, you go ahead.
Hey, Jared and GM. Jared, you're ticking me off, man. I'm just telling you right now. I love Marcus Mariota. Love the guy. How can you not like the guy? He's a class act. But you're basing this, and you're basing Henry's performance off one half of football. I mean, if we're basing stuff like that off one half of football, then Vince Young is going to be in the Hall of Fame. The dude has some pretty good halves. And so if you look at the last three games, look at the whole regular season, look at the first half of this playoff game, it was atrocious. It was awful. It was boring. And then they picked it up and they played a great half.
So because the rest of the halves weren't like this half, do you not believe that that team doesn't believe in that quarterback?
No, it's not that. I just don't think the guy's a franchise quarterback yet. I think he can.
Well, no, duh. It's easy to look at it and say, and I appreciate your call, wait for the guy to be Tom Brady and then say, yeah, he's a great quarterback. Well, no, duh, Tom Brady's a great quarterback. My thing that I'm saying about Marcus here is that all of the signs that you want to see in a young quarterback, in my mind, you're seeing them with him. You're seeing him play great this season. Everyone looks at the stats and they say he regressed or the coach should be fired because Marcus had more interceptions than he did touchdowns. His receivers don't even run the right routes. His receivers can't run the right routes. And if they are running the right routes, when it's thrown to him, they can't catch the ball. And yet everyone wants to pin it on him every game. It's like you guys don't even watch the games. You just read the box scores, and you say, well, Marcus only threw for 205 yards. He wasn't very good. He put that team on his back, and for back-to-back weeks when they had to have him in playoff-caliber football, Marcus has had that team and everybody about it talking about him like a true leader after those games, and that's what I'm talking about for a guy who's 24 years old and in his third year in the league. I am so encouraged by what I am seeing. That's the type of thing. You want a guy who's going to win a Super Bowl? You need that out of your quarterback. That's what you need out of a guy if you want to win the Super Bowl, a guy where everybody on the team believes in him and that you have a feeling inside that when the game is on the line that he can make the big play to win it. That's what I'm taking away from it. I didn't say he's the next Brady. I didn't say he's the next Peyton Manning. I didn't say he's the next Eli Manning. But I'm just convinced what we saw Saturday is who he is. When the game's on the line, you want the ball in his hands.
I'd agree.
I remember the first game of last season, the 2016 season, they lost against Minnesota. And Mike Mularkey said after the game something along the lines of, well, we always know with number 8, we have a chance when the game's on the line. And I remember hearing that and saying, okay, that's wishful thinking. Very nice, Mike. You know, that is a very good way to, you know, publicly declare that you love your quarterback. But I didn't believe it. I didn't have this feeling that, you know, that they believe when number 8's in there that they have a chance to win. I buy it now. That team, let's say they're playing in Foxborough this weekend, and I don't think it's going to be very close, but let's say it is. And it's close down the wire at the end of the game, and Marcus has the football. I think that team thinks they're going to win. Floyd?
I agree. Yep, I agree.
I mean, you have to admit, though, the way he's playing and the way the team's reacting has to mean something.
Sure. I mean, without a doubt, they were excited. And I think they, you know, responded to it. I think they've shown him that. And I mean, I don't think that, I don't think they weren't responding before. So, I mean, I think what we're seeing is how they feel about him, but I think they felt the same way before.
But was he making these type of plays in these big of games before? The only other thing that I really think to is the drive against Kansas City last year to kick the field goal with Suckup, where he kind of led them down and they hit that field goal. But, I mean, in his career the last 2 weeks, the run against Jacksonville and now what he did in the second half against Kansas City, I mean, you said it last week that he's got to keep making plays like that run against Jacksonville if the team's going to believe in him like the team used to believe in Steve McNair. And he went out and did it for a whole half to win a playoff game the following week. That's a big deal to me.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the play we're all thrilled about is a block. I mean, that's what we're off the charts with the franchise quarterback because of a block. Now, if you make a list of all the important things you want your franchise quarterback to do, blocking is probably down the list a ways, I would guess.
Second half, fourth quarter comebacks? towards the top?
A second half, fourth quarter comeback, yes, would be good.
That's what he did yesterday.
Yes, he did, but the defense, you know, defense didn't have anything.
No,
to do
defense,
that.
But it's like they all feed off the quarterback because they know, hey, if they, we give Marcus a shot.
Fed off of yesterday in the second half, the running back, that's who they fed off of. And I'm not taking anything away from Marcus. You're making it sound like I'm taking – I am not. I thought Marcus played really, really well. And I think – but I think you're wrong if you look at the second half of that game and you don't think Kelce not being there was a giant factor. The defense played outstanding football. And the running back, the young quarterback and the young running back played really, really good. I don't think there's any doubt about any of those things.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Coming up next, Deion Sanders says something, and this is something Jared and the GM can agree on. We all know there's not a whole lot of things like that in this world. But coming up next, Deion Sanders said something I think everybody needs to hear, especially the Mike Mularkey haters. We'll get to that next. Plus your calls on Saturday's win. It's Jared and the GM live out at Clyde's on Church for the national championship game. You can hear that tonight starting at 6 o'clock right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.